How y'all doing? It's good to see you tonight. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. I am Jamaican Lee Page.
And I am Stephanie Yvette Page.
And we are the Pages Speak.
Amen. So tonight, we're just going to have a conversation.
A conversation.
That's all.
We're going to converse.
Yes.
Even though the word.
No, converse is fine. It's conversate.
I like to say conversate.
I know you do. I know.
Let's conversate.
Let's have a conversation. So,
let's cut it short.
Share this. Please comment. Ask, make statements, ask questions. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Share this with people that you know that are married, that are divorced,
remarried,
dating, maybe dating someone. No, dating even. Just coupled up.
Put themselves back out there. Amen.
So,
again.
Yeah, so share this.
Like a warm up.
Just share it. I'm take a second.
Like an old left.
I'm going to take a second and share it.
Take a second
so
and share
you
it.
Take a second and share it. Just
a leftover. You
share
feel
it.
Feel like you left over.
Share.
You need to be warmed up. Tonight
with
is your night.
You love.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
making up a song.
All right.
Share
with the ones that love you.
With those you love. Anyway,
yeah.
So marriage, divorce, remarriage.
Come on now.
In ministry.
Talk about that.
All right. So whenever you talk about marriage, divorce, remarriage, you're always going to go to, you know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul's like, I wish y'all were as I were, but if not, it's better to marry than to burn.
If you're burning.
And don't want to burn with lust.
You don't want to burn continually. And you don't have nowhere to put out the
anyway,
fire.
Anyway, you don't want to burn.
You burn and burn and burn.
So,
you can't control yourself.
That's basically it says. It says
you
because
can't control
you don't have
yourself.
Self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Pastor Nasser. From Arizona. Thank you
What's
for
up?
Praying for us in the elevation. Thank you so much. We received that. Yeah.
What's going on, cuz?
It's a lot. It's a lot going on. So in marriage, divorce, and remarriage, you know, a lot of times this is very real. This is very real life. If you don't know, we
are remarried.
Are remarried and in ministry.
You're married before.
Yes.
Before. Remarried.
Yes. And I've been married, divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried.
Ooh. Okay.
But there was a long space in between that where I got myself aligned.
Okay.
Or God got me aligned.
Right,
back
right,
I
right.
myself aligned. God got
he
me
got
aligned.
You, yeah.
Yeah, he made me, for real, a believer.
He made sure that you weren't burned.
That's not what I was saying.
Oh, okay. I thought you was going somewhere.
No, that's not
about
what I'm saying.
Burn.
That's no. You don't want to talk about burning. Oh, God. Okay. No. So the thing is, in between the time between the last divorce and then this remarriage,
okay.
It was, you know, God gave me a space of time where I really got to hear him, spend time with him, get to know myself.
Yes.
Know his desires for me.
Yeah.
He was able to mature me and love on me to help me to have an understanding of, you know, the love of God. And then he set about making sure that he reprogrammed my understanding to exactly what love is and what it isn't based upon traumas I had in the past. So what he told me is that he was going to give me or he was going to give me to. Actually, to give you to a man that's going to love you the way I love you.
Come on now.
So first, he had to love me.
Hmm.
And then he translated that. He was working on that in my mate. And then he allowed me to be a wife again to an awesome man of God. And entering into this, you know, we have, it's different. It's covenantal.
Covenantal.
Shout out to Shay. Covenantal.
Coin.
Whereas the coin is just, is whereas it's not just something I'm doing because someone told me to do it. I'm not married because, you know, it's the thing to do. It's what I should be as a wife or, you know, as a woman. That's not why I'm married. When God told me to marry, it was to experience here in the natural, a covenantal relationship in the natural, that was as he was, so that he could totally reprogram my ideas and my understanding about what love is and in many different aspects.
Right.
So
right,
that I'll have a full understanding. And then, and also because he knew me, it was very necessary that I be with this man of God right here because of our assignment.
Wow. We didn't know half of what was going on, what would transpire. But I'm glad that God was able to show me something different, made me desire something more, better, for lack of words. A more better situation, a real covenant. I think that sometimes we get into situations that basically don't really see what's gonna happen. And then when we get in there, we come in one way, but once you get in there, it's a whole different way. And then you're not satisfied, or whatever it may be. A person may not be satisfied with you. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. This is my light, chocolate light, at the end of the tunnel.
Pastor Nasser said, I'm cool on getting burnt. In other words,
well, don't burn. They got something for that, cuz.
No, the thing is, it's just hit. Now he's getting burned in regards to his position with his wife. But this is the thing, though. I think that God really has to take us and allow us to get to the point where it's a spiritually covenantal step that you make versus, you know, when you have, because again, even when Paul talks about this, if you have no self-control, well, self-control is fruit of Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He says, so, you know, if you're not married, I would rather you be like me.
Yeah.
But if you're unable to, you don't have self-control, and you're not in that place spiritually, you know that you're going to have things that you need to be cared for in regards to, you know, natural needs, because they are natural needs.
Oh.
God gave us those natural needs for a reason. If God did not give us those natural needs, there would not be any kind of repopulation or, you know.
If
it wasn't enjoyable, you know.
Come on, wouldn't nobody be doing it? It wasn't enjoyable, right?
Exactly, and then the world would be just
so empty. It would be useless to have something that you can't enjoy of that nature. Come on.
So where do marriages, though, like a lot of times, where do marriages fail? And I'm going to say with my marriages, I was not the person that I am now.
Oh.
I was not.
What were you?
You know, I was very immature, childish, didn't really know how to love, didn't love myself. It was, you know, entering in, did not have a relationship with God at all. Now, mind you, I'd grown up in church, but church for me was more of a social gathering. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, my friends, than my good friends that my mom would let me hang out with.
Wow.
Even though, you know, we got all kinds of mischief, but it was more of a sociable thing. And my relationship with God was not yet there.
Yeah.
So, you know, my first husband, it was because, you know, he made me laugh and he was fun and he accepted me just the way I was. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to change, never had to get no better. You know, I was good enough, you know, but I wasn't even content within myself.
But nobody really talked about marriage in the church like that, especially coming up. There was not many discussions, especially when I was coming up in the first one. There was discussions, but it was more so like, back in the day, barefoot, pregnant, with an apron on, you know, I'll slap you in the mouth. I've heard all kinds of stuff in the old school marriages that would not fly today. It would literally ground them. And we wonder why the church has been under attack with these different topics about being married. And people are sharing views, but we need wisdom and knowledge how to keep it together. You got Mama Janie and Uncle Frank. They've been together 60 years, and they got an agreement going, though. They kind of take the good with the bad. I think a lot of times we get into marriage for our own selfish reasons.
Yeah.
We want some. Some get into marriage because they just need to get some. They just need some. It's better for me to have some relations than be out here and have to deal with God on the end. But sometimes that is one of the dumbest. I hate to say dumb, but one of the most immature things you could ever think of. If you don't get married for spiritual reasons, that God will show you somebody. What I seen in her was her spiritually first. When I laid eyes on her, I saw who she was in the spirit way before. I mean, we was just friends. I seen her, not the icing on the cake. I was looking at the batter, you know what I'm saying, what was going into the cake, looking at what was about to come forth. And I think that particular time when I got married before, I got married on some different pretenses and different things. But this particular time, I wanted somebody that God was going to connect me with, and I was going to do his will with this person. I was going to live and like this person. Now, do we get along all the time? No. But
it's covenant.
It's covenant. It's a love thing. That means the love that goes beyond all the faults and everything else that comes along with it. Unconditional love. When we understand this thing has got to be unconditional. You ain't quick to marry somebody when you understand that they flawed, you flawed.
Yes.
And because they, you know, went off one day, you just thrown away the next, or you lose that loving feeling. You know what I'm saying? That ain't how it's supposed to work. We are supposed to stick and stay forever.
And the thing is,
forever.
And most important, you know, we got to talk.
Yes.
Communicate. So oftentimes, you know, I'm sorry. I love this man so much. We going to talk about it. Right, wrong, indifferent. Right. What I like, what I don't like. What the word of God says is right, is wrong, is different. He going to correct me. I'm going to correct him. Because we're on a journey together.
Yes.
You know, for what God has purposed and ordained, it's covenantal. It's covenantal between us, and it's covenantal between, you know, with God. And in each step of the way, we're both growing. So, like, God took us to a point individually, and now he's taking us to another point together.
Yeah.
Because now we are two flesh beings,
right,
that are now growing together into us, a oneness here in the natural,
yeah,
but also a oneness
in
with God. So it's about correcting one another, loving one another regardless, and really, really walking in that love, that long suffering, that patience, that giving, that kind,
let your head down, let your walls down, stop trying to, you know, make everything, you know, that certain things that you will reveal it all. Be to a point where your mate can know everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. Don't be afraid to go ahead and love somebody unconditionally. And if you haven't hurt before, let me tell you, there's light at the end of the tunnel. When you get married or you get remarried, you coming out of divorce from a painful divorce and you go into something new. It's a time when you get that divorce, it's a time for you to go ahead and reflect on what was going on in there and learn about yourself, what you do and what you don't like. Don't be afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. So often, people don't want to talk about their issues, and they don't want to be real with them for fear of the rejection.
Right.
And, you know, we can't, this is the thing, in everything, you know, God does not reject you.
Mm. Come on now.
And if God is telling you to go through this journey together, if God is telling you this is your practice,
okay,
of love,
right,
this is what I've designed to help you go to the next level in love, giving, sacrificial, long-suffering, patient, you know, a lot of people get into marriages with a desire for their mate to change. And then they determine that they're going to be the vehicle on which they better change. Uh-oh. And they're going to do whatever they need to do to make somebody change. Well, if God told you that this is what you're supposed to, who you're supposed to be with,
yeah,
he's going to do the work.
Yes.
So now this is a walk of faith, trusting God in the entire process, not just for your mate, but even more so for you.
They say that love covers a multitude of faults, right?
Multitude of sins.
So there's a lot of stuff that we get into and quite a love covers it all, right? But what I want to say is that when you're talking about changing people, let me tell you something. Love is going to go ahead and learn how to grow with this person. It's going to learn how to understand and say, you know what, you ain't perfect, I ain't either. But, you know, let God mature both of us at the same mm-hmm. time as we go forth together. A lot of people don't like to go forth together and really dig deep in one another. You know, I hope y'all don't take that the wrong way. But anyway. So, but as you grow together, you know, you should mature together.
Well,
that's still different, too.
No, you said dig deep in one another. Oh. I think it should be dig deep.
Well, I wasn't banging that.
I know. But that's what you said. Well.
But it came out the wrong way. So forgive me and pray for me. I still have a problem with marrying and to burn.
Oh.
Marrying the man and the burn. But we're going to talk about that. But this is, we have to get to a place where we understand, man, that we don't care. I don't care what you've been through, or however. I'm going to love you anyway. Even on the bad days, I'm going to love you anyway. I may not agree with you, but I'm going to love you anyway. You may have just went off on me for nothing. I'm going to love you anyway. At the end of the day, I'm going to be right here with you looking at this face.
See, this is the thing, though, because if God ordained it and God has spoken that this is your mate, and that is so key.
Yeah.
Because, listen, God is faithful. He lets you know ahead of time if this is the way you want to be going mm-hmm. or not. And if God has said that this is ordained by him, then it's a process that you guys have to go through both. And nobody is perfect.
Absolutely.
So you both have to be long-suffering, and everybody has different issues. Now, I know that, you know, the word of God has given us an out in the case of adultery. But we've even encountered couples that have been obedient to stick and stay to the process, even through that. And the end of that is God got through working that thing together is two dynamic ministers with a testimony about the faithfulness of God, the power of God, the plans of God, you know, to take things to even a different level. So it's not, you know, it's a more about trusting God than anything, because especially if God ordained it.
Right.
You know?
If God said it, you got to trust him through the whole process. But sometimes when we're hurt, we just want to get rid of it. We just want to get rid of the pain, or we just want to rip the Band-Aid off, or we just want to try to sew up the wound and get over it real quick. But it still lasts as long as you go through to another thing. If you get divorced, you're still living with pain that God has to deliver you from.
Yeah.
There is deliverance from pain of being rejected, hurt, abused, all of those things, walked out on, dogged out, confused, the whole nine yards, because there's a whole lot of confusion in the earth when it comes to marriage, because we don't know how to fight. Our weapons are not carnal, right? But they mighty through God. For the pulling down of strongholds. There's a lot of strongholds in marriages, man, and we got to be able to tough it out. We have to do spiritual warfare, because think about it. The church is some of the most under attack marriages out on the planet, because when you come together and form that union and become one, the enemy doesn't like that. You are being an expressed being of the church. You're being an expressed representation of what God is instituted, and he doesn't want to see that. He wants to make sure it crumbles, and you got to see everything as the enemy is trying to attack your marriage. If you understand the strategies of the enemy, it makes you better to be able to, you know, be able to counteract or be able to war against that thing. And the Spirit is going to reveal some things that will help you be able to be more cohesive, learn how to love your people unconditionally, learn how to love them through their hurt, through their pain, through their wounds. Come on, somebody.
He says, how did y'all compromise on what to throw away that is yours? It was interesting when we when we came together, God totally rearranged, because I had a my situation was strange. I was in a home, you know, that I had my kids with everything. God was like, no, y'all gonna start over, y'all gonna start anew, and it's gonna be you all together. Yeah. So we both got rid of everything that we had before, and everything was just, it was just starting over as us. So, you know, there was nothing that was, you know, old or anything in the past that, you know, we needed to hold on to, that we had any attachments to, you know.
Yeah, we had to get stripped down to
the bare bones. Yeah, we stripped to nothing, because God was doing a new thing with both of us.
I didn't want nothing that was, you know, anything from the past to get into this beautiful future. I didn't want to bring in any extra baggage from somewhere else and dump it on her. I didn't want that. I wanted to really come in and come from the ground level and build something together. When you coming together, whether you married, divorced, or getting remarried, you want to strip everything down. You want to be to the point where you leave those things that are going on from the past to the past and move on into your future to build something from the ground up. And most of the time when we come into places, because we don't never really hear about how to get rid of the old baggage like that in these marriages sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of times we don't
depending on where you come from.
Yeah, it's like a lot of times we don't recognize the old baggage or the baggage just even in life that may have caused the divorce in the first place. I will say that, you know, again, number one, at least, and I would say this to anyone, let God tell you who he has purposed. Now, this is the thing. A lot of times God will allow you to enter into even some situations. He'll tell you, no, don't do this. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And he'll allow you to go into those things. And it's like either you're going to sanctify the unbeliever or not. And in which case, if it's an absolute not, you know, you let it go. And, you know, in my first marriage, it was very much like that, very young, 21, very young, burning with, you know, stuff it was burning with, and entered in. God ain't told us nothing, neither one of us in the church. We out there doing whatever we do. And then, you know, that dissolved very quickly. Infidelity, out, we out the door, you know, it just is what it is. Second one, it was a conscious decision for financial reasons. You know, there was some affection, there was some physical attraction, there were some things that were all out of order off rip. But for my first marriage, I was already knocked up, you know, my first marriage, everything was out of order. Somebody say everything was out of order. And, but I proceeded with it anyway, with warning, God allowed it. And that one, you know, also, you know, he moved on to divorce, and I was like, I hate fighting it. Deuces, goodbye, God bless.
And to the people that, you know, that trespass and push past the warnings of God, man, you better start listening to them. Some of you are in situations right now where God did not tell you to do so. And you wonder why things is crazy, why you're jumping out of windows and fighting with people, and then you walk around angry, running through the house, knocking over furniture, throwing stuff against the wall. But
God has also said that, you know, the husband or the wife will be sanctified, the unbeliever will be sanctified by their spouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what that does is it causes you to have to walk in an even more spiritual-led place. You may actually be in the position of Hosea. You know, it is what it is. But you hold that course because of the covenant and what you made to God. Now, if they leave you, you know, you're free. But if you are a believer and you've entered into that, you know, if the unbeliever leaves, you know, it is what it is. And I honestly do believe if when they do leave, it is, you know, from a standpoint of unbelief. So sometimes you enter into situations, but I will say, if God is telling you to stay, you stay. Because he's not telling you, God's not going to tell you anything contrary to his will.
Come on now.
If he's telling you to stay and to be still, like, that means he's going to work things in your favor. He's going to work on that spouse. He's going to work on you. Mm-hmm. He's always going to work. If he tells you to stay, he's going to work on you first.
Yeah.
Because there is a maturity that is required when you're in a marriage with someone who's just period unsubmitted to Holy Ghost. You have to sanctify them through your operation in Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. It's for you to grow. Give the truth, give the word, but don't run. You know, if they leave, that's where they are, but you be obedient to Holy Ghost. Like I said, remarriage, if you've been divorced, don't hold yourself up if God is telling you to move forward with somebody else. He'll make it clear.
Yeah.
And he's going to do the work in both of you in order to be what he purposed and he's ordained. With every situation, you better ask God.
Yeah.
You better pray and be still and know that before he puts you into a situation, especially if you're unmarried or in a state of divorce, he's not going to put you into that situation until he's worked on you, allowed you to know yourself,
yeah,
and really know him so that your identity can be secure as you move. Now, if you move outside of that and you're in there, it's still not too late to say, okay, I surrender.
Yeah.
Okay? You tell me what you want from me. And I give my spouse unbelieving and sometimes believing unto you.
Yeah.
And you in yourself be obedient unto God.
Yeah.
But you can't be in the position where you become disobedient because somebody else is disobedient.
Come on. That ain't gonna fly no, in the spirit.
Again, you know, you want them to become a believer and be who God purposed and destined for them to be, mm-hmm, as well as the union to be what God purposed for it to be in the kingdom. Again, when two are gathered, let me tell you the power of this. When two are gathered, God is in our midst. Two is always here with a union. When you are in agreement and you ask a thing, God is in the midst.
Hmm.
When you're both submitted, he's going to lead you all in the way. There are times we before I can say it, he spoke it. Before he can say it, I spoke it. Because we're both submitted to Holy Ghost. God is in the midst. So when we speak the thing, it shall come to pass. But this is a God work.
Amen.
This is a God work.
Yes.
But it's a work. God is working in both of us to, yeah, both will and do according to his pleasure. It's a work.
Don't get it twisted.
It's, marriage is a work.
It's work. It's work after work. You never graduate. You always learning something new.
Yeah.
And if you keep your mind open, and wide open to be able to learn more as you go along,
yes,
then you start to get better. Anything you do for a long length of time, you start to develop and become better at it. So you want to become better at being mature and understanding and loving,
yeah,
as much as possible as you can.
As much as possible.
So it's all about getting.
Get an understanding.
Well, especially in communication.
Yeah, and the thing is humility, absolute humility. It's like we say this quickly, that when you have two flesh beings that are coming together trying to be one, the only way that you're going to have a joining, like a grafting together, mm-hmm, is that both the flesh has to be roughed up so when they come together, they'll grow together. And it's that roughing up process a lot of times that may cause the divorce, mm-hmm, because it's not necessarily going to be comfortable. But just know it is God that's doing that work in both of you so that you will be able to be one together and one in him. And just even amongst you two together, there's a lot of power that will go forth as there's full submission on both sides. And one other thing I would say, you know, the words, I know, you know, don't say I know, listen. Just listen to one another, hear one another. Because what you think you know from your perspective may not be what he knows or what you think you know from his perspective. So it's very important that you're humble enough to listen. And humble enough to be like, I was wrong on that, or oh, I assumed that, or oh, humility is really required. But humility is, again, another step in the spiritual maturity that really should be in the remarriage.
Awesome.
Glory to God. Oh, well, our time is up. Glory to God. I am Stephanie. Oh, this weekend. Oh, I don't know if they're going to have time to register. Okay, let me
help. Maybe they can pay at the door.
No, because we don't have enough seats. But we'll be cutting off because we do have a marriage ministry at EKLM, and we'll be advertising about it later. If you don't have my book, please get it. Amen. Continue to share this video. Send us comments, you know, about what you see, what you think, and even possible subjects. Again, the information about my book, Gracefully Losing My Religion, is in the comments. And like I said, please join in the conversation. Next week's show. What are we talking about this week?
Whatever.
I don't remember either. Anyway,
be on the lookout for
join us again next Thursday. Oh, that's a good one. Can the church ever get real?
We need to get some people. Who out there want to be on this
if
show?
If you want to be real,
get real. Let's go.
Give us a call.
Let's go.
We can join up on this
we
thing.
We need to do a panel on this.
Can you ever just be real? Let's just have a church. Let's have a session just being real.
Just being real.
Just being real, like the fact that my fingernail is missing. Let's just be real.
Let's be real. For real. We live.
Can we ever just be real? Good, bad, the ugly. Let's just be real with it. So if you want to be on next week's show, please message us. Let us know. Contact us. And until then, until next week, I am Stephanie Page.
And I'm John Nathan Lee Page.
We're the Pages. We love you. Until next time. Bye-bye.
On the five.